Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome everyone to The On-Call Room. We're so happy you're here. We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every single episode. Currently, we're on season 12, episode 10 and 11, All I Want Is You, Unbreak My Heart.
Unbreak my heart.
Toni Braxton.
Last week when we recorded, I saw the name of that, like, subconsciously as I was looking through the Grey's Wiki page and just started singing it. And Brie was like, why are you singing that? And I was like, I don't know. And
then
it was because I saw this.
That makes so much more sense because it came out of nowhere. No, we never figured it out.
All of a sudden, I was just singing it.
I have kind of a funny story about a song.
Okay.
So I was in PT today. And when we went to Beaver Island, there was a lot of traffic going up there. And our friends who were in a different car, like, kept getting stuck in it. And while they were, like, driving, and then, like, their MapQuest took them through this tiny town. And while this was happening, the song, The Heat Is On, was playing. And so it kind of came like our trauma song. Things weren't going well, and then we couldn't get it out of our heads. And, like, it just, like, it was associated with negative things, even though it's like a very upbeat, happy song. So I'm at PT today, and I'm getting grassed and done, which is like soft tissue work and like working on the fascia. And it was very effective, but it hurts really bad. It's like they take like a butter knife and just like
roll
on like your fascia. And and my legs are really tight, whatever. So I'm like gritting my teeth, like holding back tears. I'm in so much pain. And then all of a sudden, comes on the radio. And I was like, why is this song playing right now? And I did have to laugh like through my pain. And then I told my PT about it. And she told this very funny story about how she has a similar thing where Phil Collins haunts her. So like he shows up into things. She said she had this patient and she like had told her patient about that. And 5 years later, her patient came back and was like, is Phil Collins still haunting you? And she was like, how do you know about that? She was like, you told me. So anyway, The Heat Is On.
I feel like Garrett Bourne's haunts me.
Oh, yeah.
That song, Electric Love, comes on when I'm like grocery shopping, looking like a piece of trash, or it would come on at the gym.
Yeah.
And for context, he went to our high school and is much younger than us.
Right.
And so it's like this weird thing of like, how the fuck is he on the radio right
now?
Like, and so not that he's not talented, it's just like a funny, I'm like, I'm just here at a Walgreens. Like,
yeah. I think he got canceled.
Electric Law. He did.
If you Google Bourne's,
I will do it after this.
It's pretty bad. Like, there's some allegations of like some shit with women.
Interesting.
So, if you've noticed, he has not out with new music. Yeah. So I think
should have stopped when he performed at Art Prize. That was the top.
He peaked then.
That photo with you and me.
Oh yeah, it got taken off the internet.
I just had to untag. It's still there. I refused to take any photo down.
Were you contacted about it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I said I'll untag, but like,
I'm not taking it down.
Yeah, because you know me. I was like, well, someday he'll be famous.
Yeah, and he was, and now he's not. Anyway, we're a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Yeah, so, and you also, if you want to support us, just be our cheerleaders, really make this continue happening weekly. You can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. There's bonus episodes. There are Zoom hangouts once a month. And it's a backlog of bonus episodes. So if you've never listened to them before, you can go years back into those. We also have a really cool Facebook group that is just for our intern level that you can talk to. I mean, the new season is coming up.
Soon. Like
in this coming month. And so if you want a community of people to talk to about that, we would love to be that community. So make sure you check that out. Where else? Instagram?
Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. And rate and review us. 5 scalpels, please.
Yeah. And one of our benefits for our patrons is if you are a $10 attending, you get a bonus. We call it post-op. It is the after we call time of death, we continue on a topic that we don't get to hit during the actual episode. And this week's topic is
just the separate groups of doctors and their own little party scenes and what's going on there.
Yep.
So
we will let you know which party we'd like to attend.
Ooh, I got to think about that.
Yeah. There's pluses and minuses to
each. Yeah.
But other than that, I'm trying to think what else
We had a party this weekend.
Yeah, you were an incredible host.
Thank you so much.
Brie is the hostess of the mostest. She made the biggest charcuterie board. It was a charcuterie table.
I was really proud of my salami roses.
Yes, those were good. I didn't get to see those made.
Well, it was very...
With a wine bottle, right?
It was a wine glass. So you take them, or you could just use a cup if you wanted to. And you fold them over on into the glass, and then you flip it. And then it makes a rose. And I didn't know if it was going to work. Like, I saw it on Pinterest. But, you know, Pinterest fails. So it was, like, down to the wire. And I was like, I'm going to try and make these salami roses.
Wait,
and
you
I
put did. It, if the cup is right side up.
Yeah. So if it's right side up, you would take a piece of salami and you would, like, fold it in half. So part of it would go on the outside. Part of it would go on the inside.
Okay.
And then you keep making, like, a flower.
Like petals.
And then you flip it and it stays.
Got it.
And the first one I did, we all were like, Reva and I were like, whoa, it actually worked. We had a couple of those moments. We were down to the wire on a gin drink that we were making. We made a thyme-infused simple syrup.
It was so good.
But like an hour before, we're idiots. Simple syrup has to cool.
So oh,
we're
God, because like, it's hot.
Yeah, because we're panicking about that. So we threw it in the fridge. But like there was a lot of things. You plan... Here's the thing. I feel like you plan for a party, and for the most part, like, you get shit done beforehand. You clean, you set up furniture, you set up decorations. But there's that last hour where you have to put out the cheese and the bevies, and it's, like, total chaos. And two people showed up early, which I did not understand why they showed up. No, I'm sorry. They showed up 15 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And I was putting a sign outside that said, like, welcome to the party. And I saw them, and I was like, hi, please go to the backyard, help yourself to whatever out there. I cannot be around you right now. And then I swear I like placed the last cashews and our friends Annie and Ben got here. And so it was.
What I was impressed with your charcuterie board, I feel like if I attempted to make one like that, it would be too organized looking in a way. And they have to have a sense of like.
Spread.
Yeah, yeah. Like there would be a little pile of cashews over here. You know, like.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know how to find that balance, or it would just look like total shit. Like, I've never really tried.
I think this was the best one I've ever done.
Yeah, it was
really
good.
I had a vision for it. I look back, I've just come
don't
so far.
Do you pin a bunch of them?
Oh, yeah, I pin them all the time. I want to get a lot of them that I pin are on round boards.
I need a round board.
But there's like an Instagram post of mine from like years ago from a birthday party where I did a cheese board. It's literally like three pieces of cheese on like a slate board. I'm like, oh, how far I've come.
Yes. It's also called having a job.
Yeah, that's true that I can actually afford to put some dried apricots on there.
So good.
Yeah.
My go-to was the honey on cheese. I think I ate half that honey jar.
Yeah. Well, I was really surprised too. Like pretty much all the food was gone.
We did
which
good.
Is great because it's always the worst.
Cheese boards are weird to, like, do you eat it again? What do you do with it?
I think if it's been sitting out all night, you have to throw it away.
Yeah.
That's why if you don't, here's my little advice, everyone. If you don't think that people are going, if you don't have a big enough crowd for people to eat it all at once, but maybe you want some later, you got to keep it in the fridge. So you got to like fill it.
And
cycle
you are doing
it.
That.
Yeah. You got to cycle it. Otherwise it just becomes gross cheese.
So much work. I applaud you. Also, my right foot is asleep.
Right
and,
now?
Yeah. And I feel like I can't stand up. So I'm just going to breathe it out.
You're just going to.
It's just, I can't feel it. It's
a lot of tingles right
it's
now.
It's a lot of tingles. Well, yeah, it was a huge success. If you go back to season one, Dr. Annie Bishop is one of our guests who does not normally watch Grey's Anatomy, but was very funny. And it was her engagement party.
Yeah. And it was really lovely. We got Bistro Lights put up at the last moment by John. He was supposed to be done months ago. The day of the party,
he was
digging 4 feet holes.
He did it, though.
He got it done. So, lesson for both of us. I don't know what my lesson is. That to trust him, his lesson is not to wait till the last
minute. I think
minute.
We entered a time portal, too. It was one of those nights where I felt like it started at 7, and then, like, one time I checked, and it was, like, only 9:30, and I was like, oh, it's too early to leave. Like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yes,
and
exactly.
I didn't understand how I got there. Luckily,
I was surprised you were there so late. I'm going to be honest.
Well, it's because I didn't have a ride.
Well, I just thought you'd Uber. I thought you would, like, just be like, you know what? I'm just going to Uber.
I feel like it's harder to leave when you have to Uber than if you have your own car. You're like, I got to drive home before I can.
Yeah.
And then when you have an Uber, you're like, I have no excuse. So how do I say, like, I'm just leaving?
Yeah.
Also, it got really fun towards the end.
Yeah. I was having some good
laughs. We were talking about, like, elementary school memories.
Yes.
And it was just...
We talked about, like, our sex ed memories.
Oh, yeah. We were giggling. Like, it was really great. It was fun. It was, like, a different group of people that we normally have, and it went really well.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's us.
There we are. Summer's almost over.
Party
school
host.
Starts September 1st.
I actually heard...
For me.
Do you still listen to Armchair Expert once in a while? He has Cecily Strong on, who I love. And she's from Illinois.
Actually, I listened to that
one. And when they were talking about being a Midwesterner and how, like, you live a bipolar existence because... You're depressed, it's cold, it's gray, there's no hope, you don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then May hits and you see people outside and Dax is like, you can see the elation on their faces.
Yeah.
Like, you literally become a different person. And then not only that, then it's like, okay, we have 3 months. We have to do everything. And it's like camping trips, festivals, music, like parties, weddings. It's like everything is crammed into this crazy 3 month span because you are like living on scarcity.
Yes.
And then there comes the flip time towards the end, which is where I feel like we're at now, where you're in panic mode because like-
I did not go to the beach enough. You know?
Like, you're just like, what? I didn't. And like, you're just kind of miserable in its own way.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like it'd be better for me sometimes mentally if the winter just happened because I'd be like, oh, well.
Well, yeah.
But the slow burn stresses me out.
I think what's really stressful this year for me too is like, I haven't had like a back to school in a really long time. Like, it's one thing to know, oh, summer's ending, but we're going into fall. There's like an added stress and anxiety of like, fuck, I have to go back to classes. Like, I checked my email yesterday and it was like, hi, class, blah, blah, blah. Here are your 18,000 texts you have to buy and we're going to read all of them. It's like, pardon me, this is just one class. So anyway, I think that is an additional like anxiety that I'm feeling right now.
I think school culture, like of, you know, your first formative years you're in school. And I think that's why August feels so, you know,
sad.
I mean, September is hot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I know.
It's not, but it's like something about as soon as you have to start writing the number 8 on dates.
Yeah.
It just feels over.
Yeah.
Especially because we used to start school like mid-August.
Mid-August, yeah. It has felt like, oh, fuck, summer's completely over. But we could easily on a Saturday in September go to the beach.
Yeah.
Very easily. And in fact, we should.
I also feel stressed. This is therapy we're in right now, actually, Grace listeners.
Yeah.
Is like my job is so much outdoors. Like and so it's easier when it's warm out. Like the colder it gets, it's just like
your work is actually ticking up right
September
now.
And October will be busy and then I can celebrate Halloween and then be done.
Oh, do you have Halloween off? I think it's on the weekend this
year.
Are we having a party?
Well,
who's having a party?
I don't know. Should
we have a party?
Should we have a party? We should. I want to be, we're gonna be Spice Girls.
Right. I need to get a leopard bodysuit.
Do you not have one upstairs?
Let's just, I have a really important thing to say and then we can get into Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. I bought the hot pink Old Navy sweatsuit Heather McMahon today.
You bought it after she saw it?
I bought it after I saw it. I saw it yesterday and I was like, well, I need that. And Old Navy is by my PT.
Yeah.
So I drove there and I was tried it on and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to wait for this to go on sale. I'm buying this immediately. So I bought it. I also, though, Old Navy, guys, has all their summer shit on sale. I got this tank top, $3.
Love it.
I got these high-waisted, like, green, long, flared, like, kind of khaki pants. Uh-huh. They're more like fall pants, $6.
That's ridiculous.
I got a skirt, $4. But then I paid full price for the sweatsuit that
I... It's hard to pay full price at Old Navy because you know it will go on. Like,
oh, yeah. But I was like, but I want this now.
Your fall is going to be so good.
Dude, I'm going to be wearing a hot pink sweatsuit.
I'll come wear my parm suit.
Oh, my God. And then we'll take a photo and tag Heather.
And tag Heather. Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
I'm so proud of her.
I'm so proud of myself right now.
I am too. Okay, it has been almost 15 minutes. Let's get into Grey's Anatomy, shall we?
Yes.
We are doing season 12, episode 10 and 11, which like weirdly could maybe have gone as their own episodes because I feel like they're
like
so...
Like of the pod?
Yeah, because I feel like they're so like... Is insular the right... No. Mm-hmm. Like they're just... They're like little boxed up stories within episodes. So the first one is All I Want Is You and then Unbreak My Heart. Do you want to read the monologue?
Sure. The first one didn't have a monologue.
Great. I'll read. No, I'm just kidding.
So this was for the second one. In trauma, we're concerned with one overriding question. How did this happen? What was the mechanism of injury? How do we see past the mess and confusion of trauma to figure out what the damage actually is? Infinite possibilities put the patient on the table in front of you. Now you have to figure out, will they live? Will you be able to save them, or are they a lost cause? Every part of trauma tells a different piece of the story. And until you look at each and every injury, you can't see what went wrong. We talk about the mechanism of injury, about where it all started, but the truth is it's sort of a myth. We can't boil every injury down to one single blow. What hurts us is cumulative. It happens over time. We absorb blow after blow, shock after shock, painful hit after painful hit. But even then, even if we know exactly how we got here, it doesn't mean we can fix it. You can't heal every wound, and that's okay. I have to believe it's okay. I have to believe that even if something seems like it cannot be fixed, it doesn't mean it's broken. April Kepner. I felt so sad in the end of that monologue, of that episode.
It's a really truthful monologue.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it with you. Shotgun Workup, which I felt like this one was weird to write, but it says Meredith Grey, emotional trauma.
Okay.
Maya Roberts.
The whole show.
Maya Roberts, chondrosarcoma. Paramedic Ted, partial thickness burns to upper chest. Paramedic Jonathan, depressed skull fracture, liver laceration. And Tatiana Flauto, chemical burns to the face and neck contractures.
Rounds.
I'll start.
Okay.
The episode begins with Nathan and Owen still not speaking to each other. Owen especially being standoffish and kicking Nathan out of surgeries. Bailey tells April that anytime Owen needs cardio, she needs to page Riggs. First it backfires and they fight over the patient, but then one of the paramedics, Jonathan, was brought into the ER after the rig he was on exploded. He had serious abdominal injuries and a depressed skull fracture. In surgery, his drain was easily removed, but when they removed the wound vacuum, which is a gross word, he started bleeding profusely and wasn't clotting. Owen had Riggs paged in, and together they did a venovenous bypass, which was successful and allowed them to repair his liver. They worked seamlessly and acted truly like brothers. Owen also opens up to Amelia about his sister and his relationship to Nathan before they go on a dinner date.
All right. Whoa, sorry. Then we have Meredith was in therapy mandated by Bailey. Meredith believes she was fine and would be in and out. However, she had several sessions with him, and at the end, he said she needed to figure out what was next, and he felt comfortable signing the papers for Bailey. Meredith learned a lot about what she's capable of, but also how that can be different than what she wants. There are many flashbacks showing the hard times in her life, and the therapist listens to her talk about everyone else around her while patiently waiting to get to the core of the reason she was there.
Boom. Next we have Alex deals with an overly smart teenager named Maya who has chondrosarcoma. She'd had her right leg amputated below the knee 2 years prior, but the cancer had recurred in her chest. She came to Gray Sloan Memorial hoping for a miracle. Alex consulted with Maggie and Callie and suggested titanium plates, the standard of treatment to bridge the gap after surgical resection of the cancer. Alex wanted the safest option, so they settled on the plates. However, when Maya heard about it, she asked about revision surgeries and decided she wanted another option. She consulted with Maggie and Callie, and they made a plan to use a 3D printer to make Maya a new rib cage. Alex believed it was all too risky, but Maya decided she wanted it. When they went to place the printed frame after removing the cancer, they found it didn't fit. In order to finish the procedure, they decided to pull on Maya's ribs to create the space they needed. It worked, and they were able to place the new ribs. Maya was stable and awoke after surgery. Joe and Karev worked together on this episode, and Joe being able to see Alex be his perfect, kind, and caring self rekindled a bit of their relationship.
And then we have Maggie and DeLuca are still seeing each other, and on the day of the explosion, Maggie pages DeLuca constantly because she is worried about him and hopes he wasn't hurt. They decide to go out on a date that night, and when Richard shows up to pick up Arizona, DeLuca talks to him about a girl he's seeing and how it's a secret romance. They refer to Maggie unknowingly as a wildcat. It's not until the end of the episode when he sees DeLuca and Maggie get off the elevator that he realizes it's his daughter who is sleeping with DeLuca.
Great comedic moments there. And then I didn't write a lot for this because we're going to talk about it, but the whole second episode is the evolution of April and Jackson's relationship is revealed through a series of flashbacks dating from when they first met up until this exact moment.
Yes. And then finally, we have Tatiana came into the ER after A stranger threw acid on her face. A bystander had given her a towel with ice, which adhered to her burns. So when she arrived in the ER, they had to use saline to remove it so they could evaluate and start treating her burns. A year and a half into her treatment, she becomes discouraged about her lack of progress and wanted to quit. However, Jackson was able to convince her to continue treatment. After another surgery, she still had a lot of necrosis. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
It was her second flap to die. She had her bandages removed at her final surgery, a nasal septum reconstruction after 43 surgeries over 4 years, 3 months, 1 week, and 4 days. She was pleased with the result. Jackson ends up walking her down the aisle on her wedding day, and their whole timeline of her surgery matched the timeline of April and Jackson's relationship.
All right, first notes.
Mine is mares in therapy, question mark. That's good to see that again.
Same. I have it with an exclamation mark because I always like the therapy scenes.
Yes.
Kind of makes me
like this therapist.
Oh my God. I loved him. His name is Walter. I think I looked it up. It's a spoiler podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil you too much because my mom. Okay. So I watched these two with my mother.
Okay.
I was at her house yesterday. She knows so much more about Grey's because it's so fresh in her brain.
Yeah.
And she binged it, you know?
Yeah.
She was like, he comes back. And I was like, what?
Is he Owen's therapist?
No, he comes back as a patient. And I think something terrible happens to him because she was like, oh, she's like, you don't remember? And I was like, no, she's like, it's very sad.
Oh, no.
So yeah, again, I was like,
but does he come back as the same character?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, right. So it's not like one of those, oops, we fucked up.
No, no,
Grey's
no. It's
universe.
Like, oh, we really like him.
Oh.
And I bet you he dies somehow.
I'm
but
sure.
How do we not? She was like, you don't remember?
Well, she all be like, well, mom, you just watched this like 2 months ago.
But she, yeah. So I loved him. I thought he was such a great therapist.
I thought so too.
And that's why I like the therapy parts in this show because I think it, I don't know. Part of me was like, it'd be cool to watch a whole show where it's like Grey's, but
yeah.
Of therapy. And
should we just talk about the therapy?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
First things first, and it changed throughout the episode, but at first I thought it was weird that he was sitting behind a desk.
Mm, yeah.
I was like, that doesn't feel very therapy to me.
Yeah.
But then they moved. So I wonder if it was just like initial.
Because he was like, you can pick someone else.
Yeah. But I really liked him. I thought it was interesting seeing Meredith talk about everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
I made a note about that. Like, that's often me in therapy. I'm like, and so-and-so this and so-and-so that. And it's like, all right, let's bring it back into how this affects you. Because, like, sometimes I feel like, and we talked about this in our Zoom hangout, like, I don't remember who said it, but one of our listeners was like, therapist is like, I'm not your friend. Like, you know, and I feel when Meredith is kind of talking like that, she's using him as kind of like a friend
right.
in that moment, not like a therapist.
Yeah. And I thought it was like he waited and he was patient enough to listen. And he's like, which one is that again? The whatever, which I'm always impressed. My therapist is like, oh, that's the friend that you do. And I was like, how do you remember that?
Yeah.
Clearly they take notes after a session. I know that is a thing too, but I am always just really impressed by that. But I have a note from the beginning too, saying that Meredith's file is pretty intense. Like she lists out all of the things that happened to her and it is shocking. You're like, oh my God. A lot of people died. Her drowning, her, just like her mother had Alzheimer's, you know what I mean? Just like there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
And she wants a tape and glue fix. She doesn't want to do the work. I feel like she doesn't want to actually like go to the core. She just wants to be fixed enough so she can go out and continue. Because I wonder if she feels like she just is broken anyway, so like all you can really do is a tape and glue fix.
I think so, but I think also she's like, I already know all the shit. You know, like sometimes we've talked about this when you've just talked a topic to death in therapy, you're like, okay, I've unpacked it all. Like I get it. Mm-hmm. So why are we still talking about it? I feel like she did that with the therapist in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's kind of like, I don't need to go down that road again because I've already processed all of it.
Right.
I just had a new trauma. So like put me back together again from that.
Yeah.
You know,
you're so right.
But really she hasn't gone through all of it. Like she, because as we see in therapy, she has a lot to still work through from her past.
I like that she, so first of all, I loved actually both of these episodes because there was a lot of flashbacks.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love a well-done flashback. And I thought these ones were really great. She says, she says, not the therapist in the beginning, is any day where nobody dies, that's a good day. That's like something she says. And when she, the first time she says that, the flashbacks that we see are little her looking at her mom's wrist bleeding. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is her in the elevator on the way to see Derek.
Yeah.
Not happy. It's when he's about to die. And so I thought that was interesting that like those are the first two flashbacks we get. And then there's just so many.
I also, it's important that the first thing he says, what do you remember? The first thing you remember the attack, like waking up from the attack. And she says people, like there are a bunch of people around. It was crazy in there, whatever. Then later in the episode, she ends up saying the first thing she remembered was pain. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's actually not what you said. It was people being around. And it's this whole idea of there's people around and she doesn't want them around. It's like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy thing. This is a part where there's flashbacks too. Because she ends up saying there's all these people, which we'll talk about at that party, but there's all these people at her house and she doesn't want them to be there and is kind of going back and forth between therapy. And he is like, well, you're allowed to ask for what you want. And so she asks them all to leave and they do. And she, in therapy, then looks mad about it. And it's like this almost a self-fulfilling prophecy thing. She has all of these flashbacks of being alone and then in her life, and then she then creates it again. And it's like, see, everyone is always leaving me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That line when she said that, like, everybody's always leaving me is so sad, even though it's not true in a sense, but like that, the feeling that would feel to like think that's your truth would be so lonely. And again, I don't want to talk about the party that they have, but like, I like that the therapist said, they're not being helpful and it's okay for you to tell them that.
Yeah.
And I think I just love a good, I felt like I got therapy watching this episode.
And I wonder though, like, are they actually not being helpful or is she just like, I don't, and the whole end to it is just kind of like, well, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And she is like, I came in here happy and now I feel like sad. And he's like, well, you don't have PTSD. Like you wanted a tape and glue guy. And like, you're not, oh, the part that killed me too is like when he said like, you're not a widow anymore. Like you're not married to a dead guy.
Yeah. A widow hasn't moved on. A widow is married to a dead guy. You're not married anymore. You're not a widow anymore. What are you?
Yeah.
Like she has to redefine
who she is.
And before that too, I loved, he says to her, you were so good at being, you were very good at being alone. So why are you so angry? The line that she says isn't, they're always leaving me, is they left me alone.
Yeah.
Oh, I just like, and the Mare Dare music is playing also when she says that.
And I just wonder too, like, we never really get from Meredith, like what she does want. You know, I was kind of like anticipating like in that session when she's like, I didn't want them to actually leave, you know, but we never get that. And then Maggie asks if she wants to hang out. And we don't get an answer. So
she's like a coy look on her face.
Yeah, so like, what does Meredith want?
I wonder if we will, well, the next episode is about April and Jackson, but I wonder if like that's what we will be seeing maybe more of is like her stepping into this new, she's not the Meredith of the earlier seasons. She's not Widow Meredith. Who
is new?
Is she coming out as? Which doesn't her thing with Riggs kind of start?
I think so.
In this, or maybe next season, I guess. And what was this line? A therapist, and now I don't know who I am or who I'm not. Oh yeah, that's what Meredith says. Now I don't know who I am or who I'm not. But I think that's so true about therapy. It doesn't always make you feel better.
No.
It makes you question things, which in turn will make you feel better. But like, I just thought that was such a really good depiction of it. Because sometimes you pull up things and you're like, shit, I didn't even realize that. Now I do, and now I have to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't think therapy really ever makes you feel better. Like maybe you come up with solutions or you understand yourself a little bit better, but like, I don't know. I don't, like, especially too when I leave a session where I feel like almost kind of fine, I'm like, did I do anything in that session?
She was like unproductive.
Yeah.
He also says to her, I just want to point out, he says, but something terrible happened to you and they were all there and they still are. So it's just really sweet. She's got her village.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in a year or two, half the cast leaves. So it's fine.
So it's totally fine. Yeah.
But I loved it. I love any therapy session on this show.
Same.
And I was looking forward to talking to it with you. I would just say too, and we don't need to like, we can talk about Owen and Riggs, I feel like, because I have a couple things to say. But the whole ambulance exploding was way too dramatic for the fact that they just needed a victim to come in with something.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like that shit doesn't really happen that much anymore.
No, other than was it like, oh, was it supposed to mirror, like, because the one paramedic was like, it's my fault, he's going to be so pissed at me. And it's kind of like Owen and Riggs.
Oh, could be. Yeah, that
like,
would be.
Like, because it was, even though we don't know technically what exactly happened, Owen feels like it's Riggs' fault.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Riggs is maybe feeling like, it's all my fault.
Yeah, good. Good.
That has to be. And it was two partners.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So,
good job.
I guess I thought it was very predictable. Like, you know, the first time they're working together, they're yelling, it's not working. Mm-hmm. And then I actually thought what I liked about this was Amelia and Owen are going to go to dinner, but then he cancels. He's like sitting outside and he's just like, I'm not hungry. I don't want to do this. And Amelia, I forget what she says to him that makes him open up. Oh, well, she kind of goes after him being like, I don't know what it is you do that you do nothing and make me feel like crap, but like I've had enough of it anymore. And then he, again, his same line that he did to Meredith was, I had a sister.
Yeah.
Except he expands on it here. We learn that she was 3 years younger. They all met at med school, Nathan, his sister, and her. He says he trusted him with her. And then he also says, you know, they loved each other. And I loved that what Amelia pulled out of that was she says to Owen, like, she loved him. There was a reason she loved him. Derek loved her. Your sister loved Riggs. So there's good in there. That makes them family. And that means that maybe he deserves another chance.
Yeah. I'm happy that Owen finally opened up to Amelia. I'm also happy that he like kind of invited her to spend the night or something in the beginning. And she said, that's not good for my sobriety. Proud of her.
She's staying with Richard.
Yeah. Proud of that for her. But she said, but I'll need dinner. And then, I think Amelia is right. Like she says that like Riggs might deserve another chance. And I'm also happy we kind of have a little bit more insight into, we have a name, Megan, and a little bit more insight into why Riggs and Owen hate each other, because that feels like it's been dragging out for a long time.
Yeah, and we have insight into how Amelia is currently feeling about Meredith, which is like, I'm giving her another chance. Derek loved her, so I will love her, but like, she's not my favorite person right now.
I love too that she said like, that makes him family. You know, like it makes Meredith family, it makes Riggs family, even though like Megan's gone.
Right.
Riggs is still family.
And so then that leads Owen to essentially giving Riggs another chance. There's a big surgery. She's like, should I page Pierce? And she says, no, Riggs. And I actually like, again, I liked the scene. There's like intense music. They're seamlessly working together without speaking to each other. Everyone kind of just like observes and steps away. And it's sort of like, I feel like it's like an orchestra. Like it's like this well-oiled machine.
The doctor said, like Amelia says after like that was like going to the ballet.
Yes,
like,
that's right. That's the phrase. And I will stand on my high horse again and say that I do not think that I love Owen in this show, but because I used to love the show Army Wives, if there was a show where they were like at like off in the Middle East doing doctor things there, and it was Nathan and it was Teddy and it was April Kepner. Owen's energy, I probably like his care.
Sure.
I just feel like Brody. Brody's there too. exactly. Like I would watch that show. I'd love it. But so that's why I liked the scene, but I don't know, whatever.
I liked the scene too. And I think it's really funny too, because
I think Owen and Brody remind me of each other a little bit.
They do. Yeah. And they're both redheads too. that's funny.
Who do I love more? Brody? I don't know.
But I like end up loving Brody, but hate Brody. Yeah. I don't feel like I love Owen at all, but maybe I do. I don't know.
I love.
Don't quote me on that.
I love
anyone.
Late seasons Brody. First season Brody, it's real bad.
Really, really bad. But like third season Brody, you end up feeling bad.
Brody after the heroin. What a champion.
You feel bad for him. Okay. But I was going to say, Bailey is like, see, I told you so. Like, look at how great I am and my ideas are. And then they go into the scrub room or whatever. And like, then they start fighting. And like, April's like, yeah, not so fast.
Also, it was all Amelia's reason that happened, not Bailey's. You know what I mean?
Like, Bailey in the beginning kept saying, page Riggs,
But then she takes credit for this like good moment when she didn't like it.
And then it doesn't end well because they just start fighting with each other after the surgery. But clearly they can work. They can work well together under pressure in surgery. So, okay. That's all I really have to say about that.
This teenager,
I don't really want to talk about this that much because she kind of drove me crazy.
Yeah. I feel like for me, what was notable in it is, I was like, oh, it's like Lorelai and Rory, but in a hospital, but not really. But do you know what I mean? How the girl was like, she had me when she was young.
Yeah.
She doesn't mean this. I think for me, the moment that I loved was when she's being rolled into surgery and, and Alex holds her hand and then Alex clears the room.
Yeah.
Cause she has a panic attack kind of.
Just shows like what a great doctor. We've talked about this all season.
He's very empathetic.
He's just really like in touch with, even though it's not even his patient anymore. He's like there. And then he sits with her mom while she's in surgery and makes tough calls. So.
Yeah, I loved when he just cleared the room. I can't even. Also, that was really sad to me about the girl when she was like, there's an envelope under my bed with the bank statements and this. I was like, oh, you shouldn't have to think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, also the last thing I'll say is ripping open those.
Oh, God. And the bone did not look good when they opened the bone that they took out of there.
No.
Did not look like a healthy bone.
Can you
I don't know what a healthy bone feels like or looks like, but not
that. Can you
that.
Imagine what it would feel like?
No, it would feel like your gut, your body was torn in half.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. And then Joe and Alex make out in the back seat.
Yeah, which is nice. So I think they're like getting back to it or whatever.
Right, because they're living together, but not together, as Meredith tells her therapist.
Right, right. They're not, like, talking, and they're always mad at each other and blah, blah, blah.
And then I just want to try to say if I have... Well, you all right? Just spilled some LaCroix on yourself.
I just spilled LaCroix all down myself.
I would say the comedic moments of this episode is Richard, 1,000%.
Yeah.
With DeLuca, which did DeLuca... DeLuca doesn't know that.
I don't think so. Because I don't think he would be acting like that. I don't think many people know. Does Meredith know? Well, duh.
Yeah, Meredith knows.
Duh.
Yeah.
Wait, that was really stupid.
You're fine.
It's her sister.
Edit that out. We'll cut that out. She didn't piece it together yet who the dad was. She's still confused. But I just loved, Richard being his little sexual self and like, oh, a wildcat.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't tame a wildcat.
Yeah.
And then his face in the...
In the elevator is priceless. It's just so like, oh, it's like a really funny bit, you know?
He's comedy for me right now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Jackson and April. Okay. I want to start with a question to you.
Okay.
Do you think that they were doomed from the start? You know, like how the monologue says, what does it say? It says... Well, the monologue's about like how you can't actually ever look at the point of where it went wrong. Like it's a accumulation of all of these things. But do you think that they were destined to get to this? Or do you think like, I don't know, like, what do you think?
I mean, that's a really, really tough question.
Yeah, I don't know my answer either.
I would say from where they started with him standing up and them running away from a wedding together, probably. Right. I mean... Yeah, I think it wasn't based on a lot of reality about who each of them actually is and like what they want out of life and what their core values and stuff are. I mean, you even see that through this whole episode, like they will be arguing about things and then they'll come back to each other in like physical form, like in sex. But like, I don't know on like core levels if they actually align on things.
Yeah. It was cool to see, I didn't look in notes of trivia. It might be there. Like, were those, like there's that initial scene with her and Jackson. It's like after the shooting.
I don't think that was
filmed back then.
Oh, it wasn't filmed. Well, I don't think that never hit.
No.
But was that like a deleted scene?
Or did
like,
they have a really good wig on her?
Yeah, because she definitely looked different.
Like old April.
Yeah.
Or young April.
Yeah.
Older episodes. Same with, how the flop, fuck? Fup?
Yeah. How in the fuck?
Did they do the scene with like Charles? Like Charles?
Yeah.
Like that also wasn't in there.
No.
And so did Charles come back and film? It didn't look... Usually Grey's, if they have special effects, they're not great. Like inserting a person, we've seen it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think that scene existed and they put April in it. Like, did he come back and film? I should look at the thing and see if he's listed as a...
I feel like he might have come back in film, but they also look so much younger, I feel like.
I know, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Hopefully we find out in notes and trivia. But yeah. If we don't, we won't do
But I love that it took us back to places we hadn't been and scenes we hadn't seen and post running away from the wedding. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and we got to see everything that happened in between then. There was a lot of rewinding in the episode.
It was confusing.
It was like, what is going on? When he, in the very beginning of the episode, when he walks in with Tantiana, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Well, yeah,
like,
what is going on? My mom was like, oh, this is where you're supposed to think that he's getting married. And I was like, wait, who is she?
Yeah.
Like, I totally forgot. Which it was tricky of them to do that.
Yeah. Let me see my notes on this. There was this, I'm just going to kind of like go through some random things. I thought it was really funny that Jackson and April have a whole discussion about throw pillows because John hates throw pillows and I love them and I agree with April. And that's all I have to say about that.
Same. My mom wanted me to point this out. She caught this, not me. She even then pulled up the episode to show me in season 8, 17, when Jackson goes to April's house, the episode that's all about them. One of the first comments he makes in her house is about throw pillows.
Oh.
And she's like, leave me alone, like whatever. So they brought that back.
Wow.
I would never have caught it.
No.
So.
Okay, so what do we think about this scene broke my heart? So it's like this, the argument is, right, everyone knows this, that April left. Ooh, she went to Jordan. And Jackson stayed back, and that is the argument. And the part that really, really kills me is, like, they're arguing, and April says, Samuel died and I died. And then she ends up saying to Jackson, like, you were coping. I died. And he says, I wasn't coping. I was dying. And he ends up saying, like, the thing that I needed was you. And that is so, like, isn't that just the worst? It's just the worst.
Yeah, she needed to be away and he needed her. And so, therefore, they missed each other in the hugest way. It also was devastating to see. Yeah, because I don't know if she just thought, I mean, he says he was covering. He was like, I wasn't coping, I was covering, like, so that I could be there for you. And then when she was out of the picture, though, we see him fall apart. Mm-hmm. I got really emotional when his mom, so first we see that he's injured at the hospital, and he tells Catherine it was just something that happened at home. And two parts of this. One, I love that Catherine looks him in the eye and says, how can I help you? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, even though Catherine is whatever, just like when your mom looks at you like that. Then Ben gets her away and we see the scene when he got injured, which was him trying to take apart the crib and he ends up just like smashing everything. And that was just like so hard to watch because he was all fucking alone.
I think we're to believe too that was the anniversary of Samuel's death.
Oh, that would make sense.
Because she asked, I think Catherine asked, like, has she called today? And he's like, she's busy. And then he's taking down the crib and stuff. And she's freaking out trying to get service.
Is that when she's trying to call
him? Yes.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
So I'm assuming that's like the anniversary of the death of their son.
It's also sad, now to think about that she was trying to call him. Not that would have made a difference, but like.
Yeah. But he thinks that she is too busy to. And so he's all alone and he tears his arm open. He hits his head.
She had invited him to Jordan too. I think it's important. Although it didn't feel like a super genuine invite. Like it was very like she was already packing.
But also too, he tries to go and the plane's already taking off.
Oh yeah. He last minute decides
to go and the plane is taking off. It's like all of these little moments that they're missing each other. But then there's like these moments where you're like, oh, it might like kind of work, like they're about to get married and he gets a judge and she's like, I really wanted a minister. And he was like, and they have this really great conversation where she's like, I don't expect you to change, but you also can't expect me to change. And he's like, you're right, I'll try and get a minister. And they're like, look at us, we're compromising, like we're doing it. But that was just like one little compromise that they made.
And then it's like the airplane to meet her parents and she asks him to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is what we said we wouldn't do.
Right.
So it's like already they're trying to do that. There's also that horribly sad moment when April is like, must be like real soon after Samuel died. And he goes in there and asks, and I know he like doesn't really mean this, but he says the thing like, we can try again. And she's upset, rightly so. It wasn't the right thing to say, but it's also so sad. Her response is like, screw you for even suggesting that. Like,
yeah.
Again, when you're in grief, I know it's hard. You can't like, sometimes things are just said, but again, it's like they're missing each other in that. And then we see them all dancing when they have a when they find out they're pregnant.
It's really sad, that scene with the baby, I think, or like, we can try for another baby. Mm. I think it's so sad because I think he was just trying to comfort, like find a way to comfort his wife. What it's then perceived as is like, you didn't even give a shit about Samuel. Like, you just want to move forward from all of this. And in that scene too, when he walks in, he calls her sweetheart. And I thought that was so tender. I don't think he has ever in any other scene called her. He always called her April.
Yeah.
April. But he called her sweetheart. And I was like, oh.
And he cries when he walks out.
Yeah.
Like, because you know that he like is hurting.
And when they're dancing, we're having a baby.
Oh, which I love that Callie's like, oh, are we dancing about the baby? And they're all like, what? Also, Alex going in and being like, what the hell? Like,
oh, this is interesting. You asked me that first question. I have a note right here that says, I feel like Jackson and April were doomed from the start. So I guess that's how I felt watching the episode.
Well, I just did too, in the way that I think Christina and Owen were, where I just think you can love someone with every fiber of your being, but it can not be the right fit for many reasons.
Yes.
I heard on this Cecily Strong podcast, she talks about an ex-relationship and she says it's hard and complicated because I can't describe it as it was great. And I also can't describe it as it was horrible.
Yeah.
It can be two things at once. I actually wanted to send that to you. Cause I feel like that is sometimes what relationships are. They're not all perfect, but they're not all terrible. Like, it's a mix of things. And that's how I feel about them. Also, I just have to say that we see them, this was a little bit earlier, but that when they have that fight, when she's throwing the Chinese
fortune cookies.
Yeah, that is the fight that leads to them having sex.
Right.
So, like, so much more, we get the whole picture of like why they made that face afterwards.
Yes, yes. And then it's like the question is, how can we make this stop? And they end up having sex and they're like, we shouldn't. Also, on their wedding night, she's like, she doesn't want to have sex, but then she ends up pulling him in. It's just like kind of how, like you said, like Owen and Christina were so physically like drawn to each other, but there was just something. But I don't know.
And I feel like too, like Jackson, not saying that, because, okay, let me try to phrase this. I don't need to be too careful, but like, so like I personally, in my own personal life, like purity culture things have been damaging for me. And I think it's an interesting mindset and can be not so great. And with April, like totally respect her decision to do that. But what gets complicated is then when she is so physically attracted to Jackson and whatever that, and he doesn't push it, but he you know, tries to like be coy about it and like, come on, you put the chain on the door, you know, like whatever. Yeah. And it ends up pushing her to the point of then not following through with what she wanted to do. And I feel like it's just like, I mean, it's just a mess then altogether, because like if it doesn't work out, she might go back to those thoughts of like, what did I do? You know, like
shame.
Right. And it's just so sad.
I know. She stains her wedding dress with ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
We I'd see them.
If they got ketchup.
Yeah, we see them.
I hate ketchup, not because I'd be mad about my wedding dress. Just so
driving. We just see so many. And then we see that scene, that scene where she's crying about, like, where she sees this is where I saw Reed. And, like, goes to, like, going to Jackson. He's super weird. And she's, like, crying. She's like, I don't want to die a virgin. Like, she's like, I saw my life flash before my eyes. And it was really boring.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, you can whatever. And she's like, is that a proposition? And he's like, no. And it's super awkward. And she walks away. And I love you. He says, well, that girl is weird.
Yeah, it was like, perfect.
So funny because she is really weird. Like, she's the nerd at the party, and he's the super wealthy, hot guy, and they end up together, and I think it can work, but they just miss each other so many moments along the way. And so going back to the monologue, I think what's really important is we can't boil injury down to one single blow.
I have that written too.
What hurts us is cumulative. It happens over time. I think that's like the point. This whole episode is like, you couldn't choose one moment in this right. episode and be like, that was the one that broke them.
It wasn't Samuel. It wasn't just their differing religions. It was everything all combined.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's like him being like, you left for Jordan. Well, it was more than that. Like,
yeah.
And her pinpointing to other things. Like, there's just so many reasons. Yeah. I thought that was a great monologue. I have that exact quote. Like, I wrote it as it was happening.
Yeah.
Also, what was what made me tear up was when the guy says, he says in the beginning and then they repeat it again at the end when the guy like in the courtroom or whatever says, this is one of the simpler divorces actually, which like it is anything but simple.
I know that. And she's such great acting there where yeah. April looks over and she's just like, are you fucking serious? Like, mm-hmm. how could you call like the ending of a marriage simple?
Yeah.
And then it's really sad too when she asks like, is this what you want? And Jackson won't respond, but he's clearly saying yes. So she signs. And then Arizona shows up, brings lots of alcohol.
All the kinds.
Super nice of her.
Felt like me showing up to your house yeah. the other day. I was like, I have gin, yeah. wine, tequila.
Yeah. yeah. And we find out that she is in fact
pregnant.
And
she looks hopeful.
Yeah.
Like I like that she said at the end of the last line of the monologue too says, you can't heal every wound and that's okay. I have to believe it's okay. I have to believe that even if something seems like it cannot be fixed, it doesn't mean it's broken. And I think it's going to get messy for a bit, especially because like they just signed divorce papers and all that. But like ultimately Harriet comes out of it. And I believe for them is a good thing. Like
yeah.
they get a child, like they get to yeah. heal in a sort of way.
Yeah.
I loved the flashbacks. I just want to talk quickly about Tatiana.
Yes.
Because first of all, fucking horrible.
Absolutely.
That's horrific. One of those, whenever the eyelid doesn't yeah. quite look like an eyelid, that's yeah. when I have to look away.
Oh God. So I have a note in here of like, I hate the burn stories.
Yeah.
They're so, so hard to watch.
Yeah. It's not like fixing a bone. It's no. so different. And also it was so cool though. So again, Tatiana comes in, which dun, dun, dun. We find out Sloan is on an airplane to Idaho.
I know, right?
Which is just crazy. So that's his, obviously, he does not, well, he comes back, but not really.
But not really.
So, which just hearing that again was like, oh, wow, we are back in time. So Sloan is gone. So Jackson has to take over and he does.
Yes.
Even watching Richard and Bailey, like, listen to the way he talks to her and calms her down. He is clearly ready to like step up and then he has to. And he's with this patient, for so long.
For so many, 43 surgeries.
I just want to say, if I could pick anyone to do my facial reconstruction, I would choose Jackson because her face looked perfect. There was, not a scar.
No.
I'm thinking about Ava that Sloan did. There were some problems there. But like, I mean, her face was beautiful.
Yes.
But yeah, that
And then he walks her down the aisle, which is, and she also, she's there for timelines too of like April and Jackson. Like, are you guys getting divorced? I'm sorry about Sam.
Yes.
Like, you know, so she's like
a constant sort of.
Yes, throughout everything going on.
It's also cool too because I was trying to. So like she, in the beginning, when she comes in, Jackson says to her like, "I will be here every step of the way. Like you and me, mm-hmm. we're doing this." And it's interesting because it's the same length of time he's in a relationship with April, but this one leads to like he really was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a relationship. It's different. But it was like seeing him follow through on something. I don't know. Yeah, it was just a yeah. weird comparison. But I liked it. I liked this episode.
I did too. It was really, really sad.
It makes me have more closure on them though. You know how sometimes I remember being like, oh, I wish they'd never broken up.
Yeah.
Like, I do too. But also like it was exhausting to watch them fight.
Yes. And I think, but spoiler, who knows? Maybe they're now together.
Yeah. Who knows?
After watching this episode, I really don't
maybe
think
they can just be closer co-parents.
Yeah.
Now that Matthew is out of the picture.
Yeah. Or maybe they've grown.
Maybe.
You've heard it before. People get divorced and then get remarried.
True.
It happens.
Yep. Do you have any random notes?
I don't really think so. Do you?
No, because we'll talk about the party stuff because I have some things there, but I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Notes and trivia?
Yeah.
Okay. First.
That was a beautiful note.
Thank you. This episode's title originated from the song All I Want Is You, originally sung by U2.
The episode scored 7.82 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on November 6, 2015. That's the day after my birthday.
Wow, what a great day. The episode marks James Picken Jr.'s 250th appearance as Richard Weber, including two appearances on Private Practice.
Hey, good job to you, sir. This episode is one of few that doesn't feature an opening and closing voiceover by any character. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because it's not like anything like...
She's in therapy, so she can't get her shit together to...
I guess, yeah.
The episode was submitted for one nomination ballot for the 68th Emmy Awards Single Camera Picture Editing.
The first episode to feature Giacomo...
Giannotti.
What?
Giannotti.
As part of the main cast.
This is for the second one. Episode's title originated from the song Unbreak My Heart, originally sung by Toni Braxton.
It scored 7.23 million viewers.
This is the first episode since Remember the Time to feature new footage, okay, of the now former residents in the light blue scrubs.
Okay. This episode is Jackson April-centric. Duh.
The table read took place November 19th, 2015. It was held with only Sarah Drew, Jesse Williams, and the writers and producers. Since the other actors make such small appearances in the episode, they were exempt from participating.
Interesting. This is the last episode to feature an anatomy class.
Kelly McCreary and Martin Henderson appear in the background, but they have no actual lines.
Crew member Barbara Friend appeared as one of the new Mercy West interns.
So they must have refilmed that.
Yeah.
On social media, the episode was referred to as J'April the movie.
Really? The Jordan sequences were filmed on the set of the ambulance bay.
The airline featured in this episode is Oceanic Airlines, the fictional airline featured on ABC's hit show Lost.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
That's dope. Nice crossover there. The episode reintroduced several props from the past, such as Callie and Arizona's rings and necklaces and April's notebook.
Oh, yeah, that she uses to, like, write everything.
Oh, yeah.
The episode features scenes filmed at the Riverfront Stages, Air Hollywood, Hollywood Presbyterian Church, and St. Luke's Church.
The episode was submitted for two nomination ballots for the 68th Emmy Awards Directing and Hairstyling for a Single Camera Series.
Hairstyling, because they had to make her look different ages. Yeah. Even Jackson's hair changed.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. They should have won.
Yeah, they really should have. Okay, Catherine Fox feels
this is tough.
Impossible because they're so weird. I want to give it
to the therapist?
Yes, the therapist.
Okay, great. I'm glad we both agree.
Yeah, he's the best. And I'm going to... Okay, I feel like these have to be rated separately, but honestly, I'm going to say 8.5.
I was going to give it a 9.
Maybe 9. Yeah, I'm going to say 9.
I was just going to give it a 9.
I'm telling you, season 12 is
good.
Great.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things happening.
I don't miss Derek yet.
I don't think I ever have since the show got rid of him, but... okay, so we're going to, in post-op, discuss just the little parties. I mean, it's just going to be a little fun, a little ditty.
Yep. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to visit our Patreon at patreon.com/theoncallroom.
It's in the show notes.
Yep. And if you're a $10 patron and you want post-op, listen on the Patreon app. And we are going to call time of death, which is 1525.
Beep.